It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Happy Memorial Day weekend. This is Charlie Potter, your host on WGN Radio, the outdoor voice of Chicago and America. Memorial Day, tomorrow, a time we have parades, and it's also a time that we remember those who made our country possible. And as we think about July 4th and our 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, I guess we maybe also should think about the incredible outdoor resources we have and how they were possible and became possible. But tomorrow, we should take a moment to thank those who made it possible for our country to be the country it is and who fought wars on foreign shores. And I imagine almost everyone listening, including myself this morning speaking, has a relative who fought somewhere for the freedom of America. We owe them a special gratitude of thanks. Memorial Day weekend is, well, it's the official kickoff of summer. And it's a time when you could start seeing it. Yes, you could start seeing it Thursday, but really Friday afternoon, just the caravan of cars and trailers and RVs and boats headed north to Wisconsin, Minnesota, headed into Michigan, Chicago, emptying out with people who love to go and spend Memorial Day in the woods and waters of the Midwest. And I had a friend from Salt Lake City tell me on Saturday, he said it was literally up I-15, just one RV after another, headed into Montana and Idaho for the Memorial Day weekend. It's truly a time when America gets outdoors and barbecues and starts thinking about all the things that take place in what undoubtedly is America's favorite season, summer. For those of us who love the fall, as Hemingway did, and so many of you who love to hunt do, the fall holds a special time, but summer's the family time. So in the great outdoors, summer's the time that we think of family trips, family vacations, fishing, kayaking, hiking, boating, all the things we love to do with our families in the great outdoors. And in this, our 250th year, I hope you have a great summer with your family and friends enjoying outdoor recreation. We are actually the only country on earth that has such incredible public lands to go and enjoy. No other country has the richness and the vastness of space that we do for all of us to enjoy. And America's public lands are our public lands. And we tend to forget that sometimes. While many of you listening may have a cabin on a lake or have a farm you're going to or someplace special, overall, hundreds of millions of Americans this summer will venture onto our public lands. And we have more public land than any other country on earth. Moving from public lands and Memorial Day weekend, which is the kickoff of summer, and I'm going to move to something that happened in Sequoia National Forest for the first time in 100 years. And for those of you, Sequoia National Forest is in Southern California. What happened that's so remarkable? What happened is a gray wolf entered Sequoia National Park for the first time in more than 100 years. The lone female wolf, who's known as Beyo3F, yep, Beyo3F, is wearing a collar that she can be followed with. And she stunned biologists early this year after appearing in Southern California, the first documented gray wolf in Southern California in a century. She was born in Northern California, and the wolf has traveled hundreds of miles through deserts and mountains and crossed highways and some of the busiest roads in America. And what makes this so remarkable is it shows how, if we give them a chance, wildlife will spread back out into the terrain they once occupied. Think of coyotes. Growing up in the Chicago area, you didn't hear the sound of a coyote howl. They didn't exist. And now you can hardly go to bed at night without hearing the sound of a coyote howl, and that includes right here in the city of Chicago, downtown. We have a burgeoning urban coyote population. It is hundreds of coyotes, as Dr. Stan Garrett of Ohio State University, working with the Cook County Animal Welfare Department and McGraw, has known for years studying coyotes. We have coyotes everywhere. In fact, Stan Garrett wrote a great book called Coyotes Among Us, and it talks about how coyotes have expanded into urban areas. Coyotes were once literally put on the brink of extinction, but they found a few strongholds, they survived, and now they are spread throughout the entire lower 48. There is not a state in the lower 48 that doesn't have a thriving population of coyotes. Well, think about gray wolves. They were almost to the point, as were coyotes, of complete extinction. And now their population is expanding across the continent. We have wolves across Minnesota and Wisconsin. Wolves have been sighted in Illinois. Wolves have been sighted in the deep south. But a wolf for 100 years hadn't been sighted in Southern California. And it shows that these animals are constantly seeking new terrain, new areas to expand. So when a wolf pack expands, it kicks pups out, and they have to go form their own packs. This lone wolf that's wandered into Southern California after traveling hundreds of miles is on her own. She doesn't have, as far as we know, she doesn't have a male wolf, an alpha wolf with her. So her chances of establishing a wolf pack in Southern California are, well, they're non-existent. Maybe she will head back north. They tend to go the exact same way they came. So if she explores the southern part of California and the Sequoia National Forest and finds it to be suitable habitat, but doesn't find a mate for herself, she may well literally traverse the exact same route that she took from Northern California to get there, and maybe she'll bring back an alpha male wolf. Well, actually, it wouldn't be an alpha because he's running the pack, but bring a male wolf back with her. Nobody knows what's going to happen, but there is, it's just a testament to what happens if we give nature just half a chance, how it can recover. And so the story of the gray wolf is a big story in California. As far as you can go from California, let's go over to Florida and what's happening in Florida, which, as I've commented numerous times over the past couple of years, the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks in Florida determined that there were more than enough bears, brown bears, black bears rather, to hunt. And in 2025, the black bear hunt moved forward. Now a lawsuit, and this is what I guess you've heard me talk about this for so long. This is what drives me crazy. When you have wildlife management and wildlife managers that are charged with managing resources and species, and they can't do their job because the first thing that happens is people take them to court. So the animal rights groups in Florida called Bear Warriors United, isn't that a great name? Bear Warriors United claims that the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, of whom I know numerous members and in fact know their director and the chairman of their board, and they are first-class individuals, first-class conservationists. They have all the scientific standing you could ever want to have. This group of animal rights activists claims that they relied on outdated bear population and they lacked proper scientific justification for approving the bear hunt. And they went to a friendly judge in Florida, and they got that friendly judge to agree. And so it's worked its way up through the courts, and now the Florida Supreme Court is going to make a final ruling as to whether or not the bear hunt can continue in Florida. It shouldn't be this way, and yet it is across America. We are such a litigious society, and it doesn't matter whether it's wildlife or politics. There are all these groups that exist to use our courts to try to stop scientific management from taking place. And I wish there was some way that the wildlife commissions of every state and the Fish and Wildlife Service and the Department of Interior could be unshackled from the constant barrage of lawsuits that cost all of us taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars a year and delay badly needed wildlife management practices because the antis, and when I say the antis, those people who don't believe we should manage anything, whether it's cutting a tree or shooting a bear because they're too many, want to tie us up in courts. But in Florida, the Supreme Court is going to, I guess, lay down the law, literally, and say either the season can go forward or the end of bear hunting, and they go back to the drawing board to try to justify it. I'll be back in just a moment. I'm much more in the great outdoors. And when I do, I have a stunning story from South Africa about the demise of one of the best-known poachers in all of Africa. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and I hope you are enjoying the show. If you're just joining me, happy Memorial Day weekend to you and happy kickoff of summer. I mentioned before I took the break, I was going to talk about a story that is making international headlines for years. I have talked on the air and had many guests on the air, notably Chris Dorsey and others, who spent a huge amount of time in Africa trying to stop the poaching rings from illegally shooting rhinos and elephants and all kinds of big game for their horns, which are believed to be an aphrodisiac across much of Asia. And these poaching rings are not only well-financed, they've corrupted the governments across a lot of Africa with bribes. They have the highest technology possible. And the only people really stopping the poaching rings, the poachers, are in fact the people who either run game parks and they rely on visitors like Kruger National Game Park in South Africa, or their big concessions where hunting takes place and they employ anti-poaching rings. The only two elements in Africa that are stopping the slaughter of ivory and tusked animals for aphrodisiac making are people either who hunt them with having hunters from around the world come to shoot an animal, or parks. And the amount of money spent by particularly groups like the Safari Club International and others that are using hunting to not only enable local tribes and communities to prosper, but to control populations, the amount of money they pour into the anti-hunting rings is enormous, and it has saving big game herds across Africa. So it's big news, a little bit like the drug trade. When a drug lord gets taken down, it's international news. Well, the headline is poaching kingpin Big Joe shot dead in an unpronounceable town or province in South Africa. I won't even try to pronounce it. So let's just say the biggest poaching kingpin of them all, quote unquote, Big Joe, was shot in South Africa. So he was killed near Kruger National Park, which is famous for poachers trying to come in and shoot rhinoceros and elephants, cut off their tusks, leave the bodies, fly them out. It is drawing attention from both the conservation groups and law enforcement, because he is the individual that has been most linked to the illegal rhinoceros horn trade. And he has been connected with local poachers, with international trafficking for years and years. He was repeatedly investigated, but never successfully convicted on major poaching charges. Why? Because of bribery. Throughout Africa, the judicial system, we'd like to think it's honest, and it is in many cases, but it's shocking how many people who are in the illicit wildlife trade in Africa never face justice. They somehow seem to get away from it. So he was shot, and he was shot trying to poach a rhino by a group that had been hired to stop rhino poaching. So it is a major, major win for conservation and sends a message, we hope, that nobody is going to be safe if they want to poach elephants and rhinos and sell their horns. Unfortunately, the amount of money coming in to the illicit horn trade and the ivory trade in Africa far outweighs what we can raise from the hunting end or from the conservation end. And the biggest proponent of this funding comes from China. I'm not picking on China. I'm just saying that's a fact. So South Africa continues to battle heavy rhino losses fueled by the global demand for illegal wildlife products. For a time being, maybe that's been disrupted. Nobody thinks it's going to be last very long. And just like the drug trade, some other cartel or some other poaching group is going to fill the void. But at least one individual who's notorious for having slaughtered animals, not for their meat, not for the good of villagers, not for conservation, not for population control, simply to cut off their horns and ship them to Asia and China so that they could be ground up into aphrodisiacs. He is no longer going to be a threat to all of us and wildlife. In the 1 minute or two I have left, I want to quickly go to a story about Wyoming. I talked about wolves earlier and how a wolf is now in Southern California for the first time in 100 years. In Wyoming, the gray wolf population has gone down by about half in the last 2 years, and it's linked to canine distemper outbreak. The population in northwest Wyoming fell from well over 150 wolves to its lowest level now in 20 years, and is below the state's objective of a stable population. So the proposal, and this is where wildlife hunting and wildlife management are absolutely intertwined, and they always are, is that some areas will see vastly reduced opportunities for hunters to shoot wolves, and other areas where their population has not declined so much will not see a reduction. And it goes to the very heart of the issue. If we allow professional managers with all the information and using science to manage species, they tend to thrive. The Wyoming Wolf Program has been one lawsuit after another trying to stop the harvest of wolves in Wyoming. They've lost every time because the data is there to show the population needs to be managed. And the only way to manage the population is through hunting. So in Wyoming, distemper, which is a naturally causing disease in canines, I mean, we vaccinate our own dogs and pets from distemper, is running across the landscape in Wyoming. Speaking of running across the landscape and the waters and woods of America, I hope you do for the rest of this Memorial Day weekend. Thank you so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.